Call the Midwife, Strictly Come Dancing, EastEnders, Doctor Who. Just some of the familiar stories and seasonal specials which have dominated the TV schedules over the last 48 hours. The Christmas Day ratings battle was won by an ongoing saga described by The Telegraph as a posh fantasy. Yes, Downton Abbey delivered a festive round of happy endings. A straw poll of my Facebook friends revealed that I'm not alone in not having watched a single episode. Yet we, the detractors and the indifferent, couldn't escape the comment before, during and after this final special episode. It's been ridiculously successful as an example of what one friend called fictitious nostalgic goo. After six seasons of class drama made up of increasingly tenuous subplots, Lady Edith got married. Fans may be rejoicing in this saccharine conclusion, but will we talk about it in the same breath as Brideshead or Barchester? Will the witty put-downs of the Dowager Duchess become as well rehearsed as lines from Friends or the wisdom of the West Wing? We'll remember it as a cultural phenomenon, but there'll soon be a new contender for the top slot on Sunday nights. And I doubt that Sir Fellows will say tomorrow morning, "Many other things Lady Edith did. If every one of them were dramatised, I suppose the world itself could not contain the DVD box sets." That said, the curiosity and possible jealousy of Peter's "what about him" as he looks back at the beloved disciple might be worthy of Lady Mary's rivalry. Jesus' response sounds like a stinging rebuke, a parental "never you mind" to a fractious sibling. The exchange between Peter and John reveals something of the human capacity for compassion and resentment. But what is it saying about the nature of our calling as disciples? The text focuses on Apostle Peter, on the day we celebrate John's ministry as an evangelist. Yet by including it, perhaps we're drawn back to the one to whom they both witness. But at the heart of this story is the Word of Life, Jesus himself. The phrase, "follow me," is on his lips when he meets the first disciples. He repeats it when he likens himself to the Good Shepherd, laying down his life for the sheep. And now, having overcome death, the risen Lord continues to invite the disciples to follow him. Yet Peter struggles to embrace his calling without asking that honest question, "what about him?" For each of us, response to God's call in our lives is deeply personal. It's an individual journey taking us into the intimacy of family life and friendship, equipping us to use our gifts and training in business, the public sector, creativity, or voluntary service. It's a journey that draws us to abide with God in worship, and which sends us out as we walk in God's ways in the world. But we do all this in the company of others. The person next to us today who offers a smile, a word of encouragement or concern. The person who 2, 10, 20 or 60 years ago nurtured us in the faith. The person we've yet to meet, who might discern in us gifts that build up and bless others. The risk of journeying together is that we face the temptation to compete, to want to know what someone else is doing. Sometimes we want to control or direct them, or envy their particular talent, work, or energy. That's when we hear Jesus' words to Peter. That's not your concern. Your job is simply to follow. No one else can do what you're called to do in his name. Embrace that, step by step. Ultimately, all that is entrusted to us, from the cash in our pocket to our very breath, belongs to God. Like Peter, we acknowledge our shortcomings and the things that distract us. Like him, day by day, we place our trust in God's faithfulness and love. And that assurance draws us out of ourselves into relationship to others. Our following becomes an act of witness. In word and gesture, in the authenticity of our character, in our capacity to be a little more patient or generous or joyful or kind, is the Spirit's work in us. In the Spirit's power, we make manifest the love, light, and glory of God, who was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself. We do that individually. We do that differently. We do that together. We do that in God. Peter was called to be a rock, a servant leader of God's people. John was called to be a theologian, a storyteller in God's world. John outran Peter to the empty tomb, yet in love they are both called to follow. They are both called to invite others to become God's beloved. To be beloved disciples, we abide in God, dwelling in Christ and being inspired by the Holy Spirit. The words of John are an invitation to that pattern of life. The founder of the L'Arche community, Jean Vanier, writes in his commentary, "In the Gospel of John, I have come to see that to pray is above all to dwell in Jesus and to let Jesus dwell in me. It is not first and foremost to say prayers, but to live in the now of the present moment, in communion with Jesus." That deep longing for God meets us in our human restlessness. That communion with God fulfills our desires. That unity with God and each other becomes a wellspring of light and love and life in our world. 2,000 years after John's witness, we still declare that God is with us, that we have seen his glory. It takes us beyond the fictional happy ending of Lady Edith into costly yet abundant life. The world full not of books, but of our lives as the body of Christ. John's retelling of the mystery of the Incarnation is intensely particular. It's about the Word, which was with God and which dwells with us. It's about the identity of one who says, "I am the bread of life, the true vine, the light of the world." John's declaration of what was from the beginning is radically inclusive, daring, abundant. We abide with God in the same intimacy of Father and Son because of the power of the Spirit. Today's epistle is an ecstatic, heartfelt, and joyous outpouring of this spiritual fellowship in which we share. This is the message. God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. This is our calling, to walk in light, as he himself is the light. Here at this Eucharist, we acknowledge our shortcomings and hear afresh God's words of forgiveness. Today, we hear again the call to follow and receive the assurance that we are beloved. In bread and wine, we are nourished by the word of life. And in response to the final words of our service, we become the tangible and embodied proclamation of God's love. Jean Vanier expresses the hope of our calling in this way. My hope and prayer is that we, as faltering followers and friends of Jesus, will continue seeking to dwell in him, just as he seeks to dwell in us. This seeking will challenge each of us to open ourselves to the pain of humanity and to become friends with those who are weak, broken, rejected, and in need. Together, I pray, we may rise up in the new life promised to all who will know God. Amen.